If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 7. The 7th chapter of the book of Luke. I said on Sunday that I wasn't going to take a long time this evening, and I thought that I do want to share just a few things this evening that the Lord has put on my heart, and give you peace, and we'll go to the house tonight. But in Luke chapter 7, I'll begin in verse 1, and we'll read a little. So in Luke 7, and beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath healed us a synagogue." Then Jesus went with him, and when he was out far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Therefore, either thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say it a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard this, or heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, though not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to to the house, found the servant whole, that had been sick, had his feeding. And Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. The word crisis isn't a pleasant word. It means emotionally stressful event or a tragic or a dramatic change in a person's life. The fact of the matter is that none of us are exempt from a crisis in any of our lives. They can happen to any of us personally. They can happen in our families. They can happen to our friends. They can happen to our co-workers. And the list can go on and on and on. And when they come, they challenge our faith. But often, in times of crisis, our faith often rises to the greatest heights during those times. We find that many people in the ministry of Jesus that encountered him in times of crisis, such as the story of our text. We find that in this story, the amazing thing is what Jesus says in first time about this man that was a centurion. Jesus says that he marveled at him. Then he turned about and he said to the people, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel." Jesus marveled at the faith of this man. Jesus marveled at this man's faith. It wasn't the faith in the religious crowd of the day. It wasn't faith that was found in his disciples. It wasn't even the faith that was found in Peter, James, and John, that inner circle. But it was faith that was found in a Gentile, a Roman centurion. Jesus said that he marveled at this man's great faith. I want to just share with you tonight a few thoughts about the faith that caused Jesus to marvel. A faith that caused Jesus to marvel. What kind of faith is it that causes our Lord to marvel. So I want to give you the setting of the story. Jesus has just finished the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6. And as he finishes, he now goes to the city of Capernaum. And when he arrives, this Roman centurion hears that Jesus is there. So he sends a delegation of some of the religious leaders to Jesus because he has a servant, one of his slaves, that is sick. And it says in verse 2 that he is ready to die. It is unusual that he would even care that much about a slave. But he does. He loves him that much. So he sends this delegation. They go to Jesus. They beckon Jesus to come and to heal this servant. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 3 that they are beseeching him. In verse 4, it says they besought him instantly. It means they were beseeching him earnestly to come. Can I just pause to say this? There is nothing wrong with having others to go after Jesus on your behalf. That is what we do when we read our prayer list. That's what we do when we tell others that we have a burden, that we are asking others, will you go after Jesus on our behalf? Will you go after Jesus about this situation? And there's not a single thing wrong with that. And we ought to do it. But at the same time, that if somebody sends us to go after Jesus, we have the responsibility to do it. That we ought to earnestly ourselves go after Jesus on their behalf. Somebody cares enough to ask me to pray for their needs. I have the responsibility to do that. And so do you. But that is just a little extra I wanted to share. So this delegation tells Jesus. And so Jesus goes with them. But in the meanwhile, this centurion gets to thinking about it. So he sends some friends to catch up with them. And he tells them, tell Jesus that I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. But if you will just say the word, then you can heal my servant. That is when Jesus marvels at the faith of this centurion. So that's where I get to the point of what kind of faith causes Jesus to marvel in such a way. I want to say, first of all, it is the kind of faith that believes in the person of Jesus. It says in verse 3 that this centurion, it says, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him. He heard of Jesus and sent unto him. I believe great faith is the kind that believes in the person of Jesus. I don't know where it happened. I don't know who told him about Jesus. I don't know where it all came about. But somewhere, somehow, somebody told this centurion about a man named Jesus. And he believed what he heard about Jesus. No doubt he heard about the authority of his words. No doubt he heard about his power over disease. No doubt he heard about the authority he had over demons. You can go back in the previous chapters and read of some of the works of Jesus. And this man heard of Jesus and he believed it. That's where great faith starts, is when you hear about him and believe it. I want to tell you tonight that he believed in who he was. This world tonight, by and large, they don't believe in who he is. They could care less about Jesus. They could care less about a man named Jesus. They don't care about his word. They don't care about his authority. They don't care about his power. But I want to tell you, I thank God for the day that I heard about a man named Jesus. And I believed it. I believed on who he was. And I believed in his power and his authority. That is where great faith begins. So it believes in the person of Jesus. But great faith, secondly, believes in the power of Jesus. He said in verse number 3 that he sent that he would come and heal his servant. And then again, in verse 7, it says when he said, I'm not worthy that you come to my house, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. This centurion believed in the power of Jesus. He believed in what he heard. They believed that Jesus had the power to heal. And he believed that all Jesus had to do was say the word. He didn't believe that Jesus actually had to be there in person. He believed all he had to do was say the word, and his servant would be healed. I want to tell you, there is no greater faith than when somebody believes that Jesus has the power to save them by his amazing grace. There's no greater faith than when a little boy or girl bows in an altar of prayer and they have got faith and they ask Jesus to come into their heart and Jesus saves them. There is no greater faith than that. That's great faith. Jesus has got the power to heal. This man believed that. I want to tell you, faith is more about him than it is about us. There are those tonight that put the power of faith in our hands. They've given us the idea that if we'll believe strong enough, or if we'll believe hard enough, that then we'll have what we want. That it's all in our hands and the power of our faith to believe. And if it doesn't happen, it's because of the weakness of our faith and that our faith was too little. But I want to tell you, the problem is this, that we're focusing on ourselves, that it's God in us. It's in Him. It's all in Him. It is having faith in Him. It's not putting faith in our faith. It is putting faith in God, in Him, to do the work. Preacher Ron Dunn said it like this. Instead of measuring your faith, measure your God. Rather than evaluating your situation on the basis of your faith, evaluate it on the basis of God's ability. It isn't based on us and our faith. It is on God's ability to work. That is, that this centurion believed that Jesus had the power to heal. And that's when Jesus said, that's great faith. That's great faith. He believed Jesus had the power to heal. I want to tell you, great faith is the kind that believes in His person. It's the kind that believes in His power. But then lastly, it's the kind that believes in the position of Jesus. It believes in the position of Jesus. You say, where do you find that? Notice what He said, verse 6. He said, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Did you notice that word, Lord? That word, Lord, is the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament word, Jehovah. He is recognizing that Jesus is the supreme authority. He is saying, I recognize that you are Lord, and I am not worthy for you to even come into my house. I recognize that you are Lord, that you're Lord, and I'm nothing. I'm nothing. As a matter of fact, listen to what He says in verse 8. He said, for I also am a man under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And another, come, and he cometh. And of my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He was saying, I understand authority. He said, I know what authority is all about. And I realize that you Are they supreme authority? Have you, Parthian, control of all things? He recognized his position. That's great faith. Jesus marveled at that faith. I look at that tonight, and I say, oh Lord, I'd love to have that kind of faith. Oh Lord, increase my faith that I would have great faith in you. Just some thoughts that I wanted to share with you tonight. That's all the force that I have. I appreciate you being here tonight. I ask you to stand to your feet and he'll be dismissed. Heaven, would you dismiss us?
Father, we do thank the Lord for the day, Lord, for the blessings of life. We do learn to respond to all of you, thank you, and we ask you to forgive us, Lord, for being seen in the presence of the Father.